hate, laziness, lying. Ooh, I didn't see that one coming. Complaining, coveting. If you don't know what coveting is, that's like, oh man, you got a nice car, brother. I kind of want your car. You know, always wanting other people's things. You're never happy with your own things. And maybe a negative outlook in life. You know, and I really put negative outlook because we see in our day-to-day so many people are struggling with depression. You know, those people aren't terrible people, but that's brought on because we're living in a dark world. You know, we should be joyful. Jesus is coming back. That should bring us joy. We should be rejoicing. That's what God's word says, you know. We should be looking at life in a different lens. And we see that these sins, they keep us away from Christ. They grow us away from Him.
Welcome to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast, where we embark on a journey through God's word, discovering His transformative love, and exploring the depths of our faith. In this episode, we have the privilege of featuring a heartfelt sermon titled, Come to the Light, by our guest speaker, Gabe Boffman. Drawing inspiration from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, Gabe shares a powerful message that invites us to embrace God's boundless love, find hope in His truth, and navigate our faith journey with purpose and joy. Join us on this podcast adventure as we delve into the transformative power of God's Word through Gabe's inspiring sermon. Let His words ignite your passion for God's love and light, and may you be encouraged to walk in the fullness of His grace. Thank you for tuning in to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast. Get ready to be inspired, encouraged, and equipped as we journey together in faith.
Well, as you can see, I'm not Mark. He is absent today. But in his absence, we have a young man that's going to come who has the call of ministry on his heart, and he's going to come and bring the message today. Gabriel, are you ready? Gabriel Bauman, take it away.
Thank you. Man, I am super excited to be here with you guys. It's an honor. I've known Pastor Mark for quite a bit. He used to be in my mom's band. They had a little band. They do Celebrate Recovery together, and it was just a great experience. I was never really a roadie or did any lights or anything, but it was just nice to be watching them and just seeing them worship God. So I've known him for a great amount of time, and he's a really great guy, and it's such an honor to be able to speak in front of you guys and have the opportunity just to stand here and do this today. So I'm going to try to get to my slides. Sometimes this iPad's a little weird. But today, the title of the sermon is called Come to the Light. And we're going to really be talking about what it means to have a true relationship with God and really what He expects us to do in this relationship with Him. So I want to start you guys off with a story, okay? And hopefully it makes sense. I've been practicing this sermon for quite a bit. I actually rewrote it 4 times because I really just wanted to make sure it was what God wanted. That's kind of my big thing. I don't want it to be my words. So this story, hopefully it'll make sense in the sermon and kind of tie in. And if it doesn't, we'll just forget about it. But I want you guys to imagine you're in bed, okay? Warm blanket, cold pillow, maybe a hot pillow if you're weird. If you're that guy, that's okay. We don't judge you at church. Maybe later. I'm joking. But you're in your bed, sleeping away, enjoying yourself, and then all of a sudden you hear some quiet stomps coming up to the door, maybe up the stairs, down the hallway, whatever it is. They start getting a little louder. You're like, oh, it's fine. I'm just going to keep sleeping. Then silence. Then bam, the door gets open. Your mom comes in and says, you're late for school. Now, that happened, probably hasn't happened to a lot of you. I know a lot of you guys are older, so that's okay. But as a young man, I just graduated my senior year. And I remember when we were in Warrensburg, my mom would always come in, tell us to wake up, get ready, and she'd turn on those lights that were painful to the eyes. It was a terrible experience. But the good thing about that light is it gets you going through the day. And once you get used to that light, you can finally see and you don't stub your toe. A lot of people worry about stubbing the big toe. I worry about stubbing the little toe. That's a very painful experience when the lights are off. So it gets you ready for the day. So we'll see how that story kind of gets in with everything. But today, our main scripture we're going to be reading is John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. So if you guys want to get your Bibles out, turn to that. My church has heard this quite a bit. So I'm sorry if you're here, you're going to have to hear it again. But the reason we chose such a big pound of scripture today is because I really believe when you're going to look at one verse, you got to read the verses around it. Well, why? Because in our day and age, it's so easy to twist scripture into what, oh, I think it means this. So I really believe that if you're going to read scripture before it and after it. And if you're going to read a chapter, go that extra mile and read the chapter before and after it. Because it makes sure that you don't put your feelings on it. You see what God wanted to tell you. So we're going to be doing that today and then breaking down that scripture. So hopefully that doesn't make you too sad. It's going to take just a little bit to break it down, but it's a good experience all in all. So if you guys want to stand up, I know Pastor Mark really likes that. So we're going to stand up for this scripture. And when I break it down, I promise you don't got to stand up every time, but at least for this big bulk of it, we will. Okay. So if you turn there, we're going to get into it. So it says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants." So you guys can sit down now. So that's a good amount of scripture. Jesus is telling us a lot of things. And what we're going to do is we're going to break verse by verse and figuring out what God wants to speak to our hearts. And I really believe in this scripture, it does have one meaning. And hopefully as we're breaking it down, I can really tell you what God has put on my heart and what I've seen in this scripture, what God's told me. So we're going to start out with the first one, and I'm just going to reread it. So just buckle in. So we're going to read John 3:16. I'm going to read that again, then we're going to break it down. So it says this: "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So this is a popular verse. We hear this one a lot. And what we see in this verse is we need to figure out, why is God sending a son? Well, we're going to go to the very beginning, Genesis. So we see in Genesis that man and woman, they break apart from God because of their sin. They choose to do sinful things instead of being with God. And what this does is it separates them. So man and woman decide to stand on the dark side. I know we're talking like it's Star Wars. And then God is, of course, light. So he's on the light side. And because of our sin, we've built a wall between us and God. And we know that when we are on the dark side, our penalty for sin is what? Death. So God was so loving and great. Instead of letting us die and letting us not be in a relationship with him, he sent his son so we could be in a relationship with again, because he loves us that much. So that is why when we read John 3:16, God sent his son because he loves us. He wants to be in a relationship with us again. And this verse sounds amazing. And we see this on t-shirts, coffee mugs, signs. We see this everywhere. This verse is mainstream. Christians talk about it all a lot. And actually, if you went into our lock-in at our church, Nick actually preached a message that was really close to this one. And he talked about that you don't even have to be a Christian to know that this verse to know this verse at all. A lot of non-Christians know it. And they usually take it as, well, God loves us so we can do whatever we want. So that's where we're going to begin down to the nitty-gritty today. That yes, God loves us, but God requires a few extra things that we don't read about. And one of those things, if you're going to wear a shirt that says John 3:16, you should definitely add 17 and 18 on there too, because it's a great verse as well. So we're going to read that. It says, "God sent his son to the world, not to judge the world," see, that sounds really great, "but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son." So that's still some pretty good stuff. So what are we affirmed in this? We know that if you believe in Christ, you are saved. If you don't believe in Christ, you are judged. And I really like to tell people, especially young believers, when I say you got to believe in God, I like to say you got to believe and abide in Christ. Because a lot of young believers, they kind of forget that believe means actually following God. They kind of think like, oh yeah, there's a guy in the sky. He's watching over us. No, that's not what believe means. Believing is knowing, actually the definition of believe, I don't have it exactly on this iPad, so I'll try to get it up there in the computer. Believing is believing everything is true. So if you believe in God's word, you believe in what he did, then if you are putting your faith in Christ, you're going to do the things he told you because you fully believe in him. So for young believers, I just like to say believe and abide, because abide means following and being under God and listening to what he's called us to do. So I like to say that for young believers. It helps them understand, especially in our world today. So today I'll just say believe and abide too. So we know that if you believe and abide in God, you are saved. And if you don't, you are not saved. So we see a conflict between the two. We see the dark people and the light people. And as we keep going on, we kind of think like, oh, geez, Jesus is just judging people. Man, I don't like that. Well, we see why he judges those people in verses 19 and 20. So we'll read that. "And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed." So we see these people are judged because instead of being with Christ, They want to be in the darkness. And a good thing to figure about this verse is we know that when Jesus is talking about God sending light, he's saying God sending him. Jesus is usually referred to light many times, and we know that Jesus is talking about himself because when we go back to John 3:16, it says, "For this is how God loved the world, he gave his one and only son." So we know that Jesus is already talking about himself. So when he says light, he's saying the dark people will not come to him for fear their sins will be exposed. And the thing I really want to get out of this message today, this is really our main verse, John 3:19-20. And it's our main verse because it's talking about that we don't come to God because we're afraid that our sin's going to be exposed in the darkness. And we see so many times in the Christian faith that darkness, when we're in that darkness, our sin grows uncontrollably. And there's actually a story that just came out recently about Hillsong. It's a mega church if you haven't heard about it. And their pastor, he was having an affair. And this was going on months and months and months. And what happened is he had always had a sermon he preached, don't have affairs, don't have sex before marriage. He was very serious about this topic. But then in his own dark world, no one knew about it. He was doing his own thing. And then eventually, light hit him and he got caught. And when we see that, when we're in darkness too long, that sin, it just grows and takes over. So we see the problem in this verse, the problem that humans are struggling with, is when we're in darkness, our sin grows. And what happens with this sin is it grows us away from Christ. See, a lot of Christians, we believe, oh, if we believe in God, we're all good. But no, if you're still living in sin, it doesn't matter if you believe in Christ one bit. If you're still living in sin, you are growing away from the Lord. You're saying, you know what, God, I don't really want a relationship with you. You know, and I'm not talking about little mistakes we make every day. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when we're living in the darkness. And some of those sins you may be struggling with is lust, hate, laziness, lying. Ooh, I didn't see that one coming. Complaining, coveting. If you don't know what coveting is, that's like, oh man, you got a nice car, brother. I kind of want your car. You know, always wanting other people's things. You're never happy with your own things. And maybe a negative outlook in life. You know, and I really put negative outlook because we see in our day-to-day so many people are struggling with depression. You know, those people aren't terrible people, but that's brought on because we're living in a dark world. You know, we should be joyful. Jesus coming back, that should bring us joy. We should be rejoicing. That's what God's word says, you know. We should be looking at life in a different lens. And we see that these sins, they keep us away from Christ. They grow us away from him. So we need to look, and how do we fix this problem? I mean, that's what I would like to know. And this word has been around for a really long time. So just hold in there. Repent. And I know you're probably thinking, oh my goodness, here we're talking about repent again. I was growing in a Pentecostal church, so that's all we talk about every Sunday is repent, repent, repent. And you know, there's a lot of other great things in the Bible too. That's all I'm going to say. But repentance is key in the Christian faith. And we see that when we're living in darkness, the reason why repentance is the solution to our problem, because when we come to the Lord, we give it to him. Sort of, instead of looking this way to the dark side, like, oh, I'm just kind of doing my own thing. When you repent, you're taking a full 180 turn and saying, what's up, God? I'm ready to give you this. And we know that in the Greek language, and bear with me because I'm just an American boy, so I don't know how to speak Greek very fluently, but metano, which means to have a change in heart or mindset. So repentance isn't saying, God, forgive me, and then going back and doing what you want to do. Repentance is acknowledging what you're doing is evil and giving it to God and saying, here you go, Lord. I don't want that anymore. And I think in church so many times, a pastor will come to you and say, just repent, just repent, just turn away from sin. It's a little easier said than done. Let's just say that right there. It's way easier said than done. And pastors sometimes expect their congregation just to be able to do it. But I really believe that we need to go through the steps of how to repent. And this is kind of how I do it. And I really believe that it's powerful and it actually helps you give sin away. So the first thing I like to do when I repent is when I come to the Lord, first, step one, go to the light, okay? You got to get out of this mess. You got to turn to the Lord. So I like to just look them eyeballs right up. And I like to say, you know what, God? Maybe you struggle with lust. We'll use lust as an example. God, I know lust is evil. So second, acknowledge that your sin is wrong. Give it to God. Say, Lord, this is bad stuff. I know you don't approve it, and I don't approve it. Because what you're doing there is you're affirming already in your heart that sin is evil. So step two, make sure you affirm that it's evil. Third, give it to him. Don't just hold on to it because I can agree all day, yeah, my sin's bad, and then keep doing it. You've got to say, Lord, take it. Let him throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. Say goodbye to it. And the fourth step, which is the most important one, don't forget this step. If out of all the steps, remember this one. When you give your sin to God, say, Lord, give me your spirit to overcome that sin and not try to grab it back. Because sometimes we give it to the Lord and then we kind of like, I kind of want it again. You've got to say, Holy Spirit, give me the strength to not turn back to it. That is the most important. I kind of like to tell people this, you know, it's kind of like a deal. God's like, give me your sin, I'll give you my Holy Spirit. It's a trade-in, okay? So make sure that you get the Holy Spirit out of that deal. Make sure you get him, because he's going to help you and overcome that sin. And we see the benefits of this. You know, when we come to the Lord, we don't feel, oh, so ashamed. And God's like, you're so evil. You're so terrible. Get out of my sight. No. When you come to the Lord in repentance, he says, you know what? I love you so much. I'm glad you finally came to your senses. Let me help you. Let me give you my Spirit to work on you. That's the benefit we get. And it just feels like sin has been lifted. And, you know, in my Christian life, I actually struggled a lot with, like, pornography for a while, especially before I became a Christian. And if Nick was here, I kind of talked to him about it. He's the one who really discipled me in school, and actually one of the big reasons I became a Christian. And he was the one also who gave a sermon at our lock-in, if you didn't know. Really great guy, but he really helped me get through that. And I actually relapsed 3 times while being a Christian with pornography. And the reason it grew so bad is because I was always in darkness, but I learned to turn to the Lord. And finally, that last time, I said, God, I ain't doing this anymore. You know, I can't do this anymore. And I finally truly gave it to him. And yeah, every day, I'm still tempted with it. Every day, still tempted with it. You know, I'm not saying, you know, once you give it to the Lord, oh, it's going to be so easy. No, you're going to be tempted with it every single day. Satan's going to be like, oh, you remember that, man? That was a pretty good time we had together. But you've got to say, no, I'm walking with the Lord. And the only reason you can say no is because you got God behind you. You've got his Holy Spirit giving you the strength to say no. You've got to learn how to say no. It's very important. But those are the benefits. We see that we walk with Christ. And instead of repentance being something that we think is, oh, so mandatory, we see repentance as something that keeps us on the road with Christ. You know, so many people will say, you know, if you didn't repent today, oh gosh, if you died, you're going to go to hell. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you have to have repentance just to go to heaven if you, you know, maybe said a fib that day and you forgot to repent. You die in a car crash that night. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying repentance keeps you on the road with Christ. Remember, God's forgiveness. When we repent, we receive God's forgiveness. Forgiveness is what saves you, not repentance. But when you come to repent, you get his forgiveness, and that's what saves you. So that's the thing we need to remember. And to kind of end off this sermon a little bit, I know that was quick. I'm a fast speaker. But something to kind of end it off is, if you didn't know, I didn't read John chapter 3, verse 21, and I'll read it here. It says, but those who do what is right come to light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. So those who repent, those people are doing what God wants. Those are the people who seek the Lord and give it to him. And when you repent, when you come to Christ, that shows other believers to give it to. That's a powerful thing. And we always talk about Christians. We want people to be set free. The way to be set free is to repent, to give it to the Lord. And the worship team, they can come back up here. We're going to do a song real quick. And I always like to have a time where God can speak to you. I always believe, you know, even trying to, you know, get ready to get into the ministry, you know, oh, it's all about me speaking. But, you know, God has his own voice. He doesn't always need me to speak up here. He doesn't need a pastor to speak up here every Sunday. He can do it himself. So I really like always a time for God to speak to you and just give him a few minutes. So I really would like to do that. And as we're singing the song, the slide right now I'm on, it says confession. It's to remember me what to say. But I really want a time for you guys just to repent, to have that in action and do it. And if you've been to my church, you know I do this on some of my sermons, so just bear with me. But I would like you guys just to close your eyes. Just time closing eyes so no one feels like they're getting watched. And if you feel like there's something on your heart right now, maybe it's lust, maybe it's hate, laziness, lying, complaining, coveting, negative outlook in life, whatever sin you're struggling with, there's even more than that. And you just feel like you've been living in the darkness right now. Something's just taking you away from Christ. Would you be brave enough just to raise your hand and say, you know what? I'm struggling with something too. That's great. And if you guys just want to put those hands down, you can. Thank you for that. God loves that. The people, see, you're already doing the first step of repentance right there. You're giving it to the Lord. You're saying, God, I see this as a problem. There you go. You've already got the first step. Now you guys can open your eyes now. Now the second step of repentance is, remember, giving it to the Lord. You've acknowledged that it's wrong. Now you got to give it to the Lord. And I believe that way is when you come up to the altar and maybe stay in your seat, whatever you feel comfortable with right now. But, you know, acknowledging and saying, Father, I just want to give this to you. And, you know, if you come up to me for prayer, or, you know, we're going to have Logan and Dylan come up to pray with this altar call. You know, if you don't come up to pray with one of us and you do give it to the Lord, remember the last part, though. Remember, Holy Spirit, come in me and help me to overcome the sin. He is the only way to not turn back to it. So remember that part. If you remember anything out of this sermon, just remember the Holy Spirit part. That's the most important one out of all of it. So as they're going to sing, we're going to invite you guys to do that and just have a time with God. I think that's amazing. So thank you guys for listening.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we ask that you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe that you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church, and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to contact our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.